All right, how you guys doing tonight? Man, I can't believe it is already week 9. Time flies when you're having fun. I want to jump right into this. It's not that I have a whole lot to cover in a sense, but I know that there's some very key things that God wants to reveal tonight, and so I want to get started. I got a question. And I know the answer to some of the table hosts because I've already discussed this with them. But since you've started Starting Point, how many in here have been attacked by the enemy? For anybody that has not been attacked by the enemy, please meet me after class and tell me your secret. Okay, I want to know how to get this joker off my back. The Bible says to count it joy when we get attacked. And the reason why the enemy attacks us more so than maybe others, and we're going to discuss this in a little bit, is because as believers, when we align with the will of God and we begin to understand who God has called us to be, we throw a big old wrench in the enemy's plan. We have a way of this reverse economics that God has of us surrendering and being victorious, and he can't stand for us to surrender to our Father and stand in victory when it looks like everything's falling apart around us. The past 2 or 3 weeks, I've actually experienced this. Y'all know I'm a very transparent person, probably share more than most people would, but that's just who I am. And the past 2 or 3 weeks, I discussed this with one of my best friends this afternoon, Bubba. I've had my tail handed to me in a way that I have never understood. You see, I've never operated in fear. I haven't. I'm not scared of nothing, never have been. Anything that I've come up against, I've pushed through it. That's just who I am. That's my DNA makeup. I've never dealt with feeling unaccepted. I can walk into a room of 150, give me 10 minutes, and I'll be friends with all of them. It's just who I am. I've never dealt with doubt and uncertainty when it comes to things personally in my life in a major sense. Maybe some small things, but nothing that consumed me. Well, I can tell you the past 3 weeks, the enemy has attacked me in a blind spot that I never recognized. I never knew was even part of who I am. And it was so strong, and I couldn't recognize where the attack come from. And as I begin to do what I know and understand about spiritual warfare, it seemed to get worse. It seemed like the peanut butter got even thicker, and it's truly like swimming through peanut butter because I was moving and I was exhausted and I was working and trying so hard, but I couldn't come up for air. I couldn't breathe at times. I didn't understand what was going on, and then it went from my mind and it manifested itself into the physical to the point where the way I act, my demeanor began to change. And my wife would ask me, she says, "What's wrong with you?" And I would tell her nothing. And it's because I couldn't tell her what was wrong because I didn't know. My marriage is as strong as it's ever been. My kids are doing great. They make great grades. My family's doing great. I'm not rich by no means, but I mean, all of my bills are paid. I've got food in the cupboard, as you can tell. And all of these things that we consider good, joyful things, I wasn't getting the job done. I was getting attacked by an enemy I couldn't see. I couldn't find him. I couldn't hear him. I couldn't recognize him. I couldn't point him out. And as I finally got to my place where I have to get when I'm dealing with stuff like this, I got to get quiet because I talk a lot. And when I talk a lot, there's a lot of times I can't hear the word of God. I can't hear the voice of God. And so I had to get quiet. And when I get quiet, a lot of people notice because I am so loud and boisterous. And as I begin to get quiet, I begin to say, "All right, God, I know what your word says. I know that you have this perfect plan to overcome the enemy, but I am getting slayed right now. What do I do?" And he began to sort through things from my past that I never knew was an issue in my life. And as I begin to walk through these things, and I begin to study how to overcome the attacks of the enemy, God began to illuminate the areas this enemy were attacking me. And I was like, wow, never knew. Never knew that this was something that I would struggle with. But as I begin to take what I was being attacked with and replace it with the truth and the Word of God, and we're going to talk about all of that tonight, I begin to see light. I begin to see some victory. And I asked God, I said, what's all this about? Why am I dealing with this? What's the purpose in this? And he showed me two purposes today. Two of my very best friends that I love more than life itself, that I call family, were dealing with the same thing. And God used what I was going through, and he said, this is what it's for. He said, you're going to have to go through some things to see some things so that I can show you some things, because the position you're called to be in to help your friends and family. And as I began to do that, and I had to send an apology to my wife this morning over some issues that I desperately needed to apologize, that God convicted me. And as I began to do that, this burden and this attack began to lift off of me. And God showed me, he said, I had you the whole time. He said, look what you've learned through it. That's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about overcoming the attack of the enemy. And I know why I'm standing up here talking to you tonight. And it's because I'm qualified to teach this, not because I'm qualified, but because God qualified me to be successful and victorious in this, because I just come out of it. So I'm not talking and teaching to y'all. We're teaching to each other tonight. This is just as much for me as it is for you. So let's get started. I don't spend a lot of time focusing on the enemy. I'm not going to give him credit where credit's not due. I'm not going to glorify his schemes. I'm not going to glorify his intentions. I'm not going to glorify that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, because I'm not going to give him that power in my life. But it's very important that we do have a knowledge of who the enemy is and where he comes from and what his schemes are and what his motives are. That's very, very important to the process of being aware. Now, this isn't in your book, and I want you all to write this down. I want you to write awareness plus obedience equals victory. And that'll make sense here in a little bit. Awareness plus obedience equals victory. So let's jump in to how to overcome the attacks of the enemy, and let's look at some fast facts on the origin and the purpose of the enemy. It says, God is the creator of everything and everyone, including angels and Satan himself. Therefore, Satan is a created being and is therefore not as powerful or as strong as God. That's good news for us. Satan was created by God. He screwed up royally, got casted out of heaven, but God's still his creator. The creator is always greater than the creation. All right? So God is more powerful than Satan. Satan and a third of the angels who followed him were kicked out of heaven. You can read about that in Revelations 12 and 4. We now call those angels demons, and they are on a mission to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. They want to bring as many people as they can to hell with them before the final judgment. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's roaring, he's creeping around roaring like a lion. And that's the reason why our calling of the Great Commission on our lives is so important, because he's doing everything he can do to get as many people as he can to take to hell with him, because he knows where he's going to end up. And in Matthew 28 and 16, God said, he commissioned us. He said, go spread the good news about me. Why? So people can know where freedom and eternal life is, and so they don't end up in eternal hell. That's our calling. So we're called to spread the word and be Christians so that we can throw a wrench in the enemy's plan. The next one, God is omnipotent, he's omnipresent, and he's omniscient. Satan is not. What that means is God is all-powerful, he's all-present, and he's all-knowing. God has power over everything. God knows everything, and he was before us. He's with us right now, and he's standing on a road of victory waiting on us. That's good news, guys. Satan's not. He's running around crazy, doing everything he can do to cause as much chaos as he can, and he can't get to all of us. He can't catch all of us, and God's already got us in his hand. That's good news for us believers. He and his demons like to speak in first person to make us think, to make us think those thoughts and feelings originated from us. And the last one, God has, he is the father of all lies, but God has a victory in the end. And he defeats Satan by throwing him to the lake of fire where he will burn for eternity. Revelations 20 and 10. So this is the origin of Satan, so you understand where he come from and what his plan is. It's pretty simple. Now let's go and look at who does he tend to attack. Number one is mankind in general. Mankind in general, that is, they're talking about the human race. So all are susceptible to the attack of the enemy. And number two, it says Christians specifically. Why does he attack Christians specifically? Do what? That's great, Sam. What were you saying? If he attacks us because we're a thorn in his side against his plan. If you're not a believer and you don't know and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, what does he have to steal with you? He knows where you're going to end up. So there's not such a pull and an attack on that because I got them. They don't have a relationship with Jesus. They don't understand salvation. So why? I don't have to put my effort and energy into them. I'm going to put my effort and energy to the believers. Because I know if they ever figure out who they are in Christ, they can destroy my plan. When does he like to attack? Number one, I'm going to say pretty much all the time. That joker does not quit. He doesn't. But number one says, after a great victory. Me and my wife, y'all know our story. God restored us, got married for the second time, completely restored our marriage. We went on a honeymoon. It was a disaster. We drove back from Tyler, couldn't find the hotel. We come back to reality and walk in the house. About 2 weeks into it, we stood in our kitchen and looked at each other and said, did we mess up? Did we do the right thing getting remarried so we can do the will of God? Sure we did. But the enemy didn't want that. I mean, we were contemplating walking away saying, oh my gosh, it was a great victory. God restored our marriage to use as a testimony. And I know it's affected so many people in this church. God has used it. It has affected my kids, my family, her family, and people even outside of this church. And the enemy did not want that. So after this great victory that God gave us, here comes the enemy, buddy. Here he comes. Luckily, we were in a position where we could recognize him. The second one is during a time of difficulty and weakness. When you're going through a time of difficulty and weakness, I just come out of it. Just come out of one. I'm fresh off of a difficult time that made me weak. I'm 48 hours out of it. What it does is it separates our mind from focusing on God. We're over here paying attention to this, and we're paying attention to that, and we have our mind focused on other things in God, and then we, oh yeah, I got to go read my Bible, but what about this, and what if this happens, and what if this bill don't get paid, and what if he doesn't show up, or what if she don't call, or what happens if my kids, what if? During these times of vulnerability and weakness, and the enemy comes in there and he sneaks in and hits you in that blind spot. And he begins to attack us when our mind is not focused on our Father. And it happens to all of us. I talked to precious Miss Sarah a while ago. I'm pretty sure that Miss Sarah is going to be sitting right beside Jesus. Amanda, you can laugh at that. Amanda was scared to laugh at my jokes because she sounds like a cackling hyena. I love you, girl. But she was talking to me a while ago. About difficult and tough times when how she doubts herself that she does this or does that. And this is when the enemy truly comes against us, is during these difficult and tough times. And that's what she was talking about. I done lost my train of thought making fun of Amanda. Number three, after committing your life to Christ or deciding to get closer to him. After we receive salvation, you're going to get attacked because the enemy hates it because he knows what salvation means. Right? He knows that he just got replaced by the Holy Spirit as a king of your heart. And then when we begin to do things like grow one, grow two, grow three, encounter, we begin to serve, we begin to help others in the community, and we begin to grow closer to Christ, the enemy says, no, 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 no. I surely don't like that, because if you ever do get attached to that power, if you ever do know how strong, how much authority you have in him, you truly will be detrimental to my plan of stealing, killing, and destroying. So he's going to come at you. So anybody that's had, if you're a new believer, if you're trying to draw closer to Christ, everybody in here tonight, I'm thinking you're here because either your wife told you to or you're trying to draw closer to Christ. Either way, you have something to take from the enemy and he hates it. But God's got a plan to defeat that. So when or how does he like to attack? Number one is temptation. See, temptation draws us away from righteousness. That's the reason why he likes to use temptation. He'll use fear. Fear draws us away from empowerment. He'll use doubt, which draws away from our faith. He'll use disunity, which draws away from unification. He'll use shame and guilt, which draws us away from grace. He'll use disinterest and indifferences that draws us away from the like-minded believers that we're called to be with. He'll use distractions and notifications that draws us away from the focus of the Father's love. He'll use discord in a family that draws us away from peace. And he'll use frustration with God when prayers aren't answered as we expect or hope, and it draws us away from a patient spirit. You look at all nine of those, every one of them, take our focus off of God. Every one of them are a scheme of division. He'll do anything he can do to divide and conquer. Every one of those takes our eyes off the fruit of the Spirit and puts us on the fruit of the flesh. Every one of those takes our eyes off of our power source. And we're fixing to get into our power source. It's very, very important that we recognize who the enemy is, where he come from. It's very important that we understand who he attacks, when he attacks, and how he attacks. The blind spots in our life. These are very important, and we need to be aware of it. But this next section is my favorite, because this next section puts me in the end zone. This next section lets me march around in victory every day, even when I'm walking through peanut butter. Overcoming the attacks of the enemy. I want to talk about that title just for a second. It says overcoming the attacks. It doesn't say defeating the attack. You're going to get attacked. I'm going to show you where Jesus got attacked and he come back. But we are overcomers. That means that we're going to continuously do this over and over. But every time we do it, we get stronger. Every time we do it, we recognize and we realize and we see more and more. And every time we do it, we draw closer to Christ. I want y'all to look at 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5. Tommy, if you will put that scripture up. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5. This is the scripture that's in your... right underneath the beginning section of overcoming the attacks of the enemy. And I want to break this down. I want to show you truly, I've read this scripture 100 times. Maybe more than that. And God revealed to me truly what this means. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. We are believers. The word we are referring to believers. We as believers live in this sinful world. But we do not wage war like the world does. We have a different system. We're talking about that system tonight. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The word divine means proceeding directly from God. So basically that is saying that our weapons, the power from our weapons proceed directly from God to demolish strongholds. I don't know about you, but if I'm going into a battle and I know I got God on my side, I'm feeling pretty good about that victory. I know that the powers that are within me and the powers that I have access to are a divine power, are a direct source from the Creator to demolish the strongholds that are in my life. Strongholds, if you want to, we're not going to go into that, but just picture them as an invisible prison. I was in an invisible prison the past couple weeks and could not figure it out. Had a stronghold from something way back in my past. But the weapon and the tool that I have demolished that stronghold. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Listen, we cannot control what comes in here, but we can control what we do with it. And when we take captive these thoughts, and I begin to take captive the thoughts that the enemy put in my mind, and he began to tempt me with things that I'd never been tempted with, I had to replace it with righteousness. I captured that thought and had to replace it with righteousness. When doubt crept into my life and it began to make me question things, I had to replace that doubt with a promise and with faith. See, I had to capture those thoughts. And when I began to capture the thoughts that the enemy were sticking in my mind, right, and I began to set it up against the obedience of Christ and say, God, what does your word say? He says, you're wonderfully and perfectly and beautifully made, son. He said, I breathed my air into you 38 years ago for a purpose. He says, you're good enough for my army. You're good enough for my kingdom. So you're good enough for everybody. That's the truth that reside in my heart. And the enemy was trying to make me replace the truth that's in my heart with a lie that was in my head. A lie I could not control coming in until I began to speak forth the word of God. See, that's how much power we have when we understand this plan that God has put into place for us. So let's get going on this. And like I said a while ago, I said this to the class. And I said, and y'all wrote down something a while ago. I said, awareness plus obedience equals victory. This is what I mean. There's one thing in these 8 points that we're fixing to go over real quick that focuses on the enemy. And he says, be aware. Don't be ignorant of his schemes. Be aware of his schemes. The other 7 puts our focus on God. The other 7 puts our focus on obedience. What that other 7 points do is God says, hey, recognize that there's an enemy. Recognize he's there. But you do this, 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 and this. And what it is God is putting us into a form of obedience, and he's whooping that devil for us. When I finally began to put God in his, I began to allow God to have his place as my weapon, he began to whip that devil for me. And I had to come into obedience in order to accomplish that. So awareness plus obedience equals victory. Number one, don't be ignorant of what tactics of the enemy works on you. Be aware. It says, know your areas, maybe even seasons of weakness and vulnerability to sin, because the enemy knows. During those times of weakness and vulnerability, bring in and set up reinforcements. So one of the things that I started the first of the year was my health, because I love food. I do. It's evident still. But I had to set up some boundaries in my life in order for me to begin to get victory over this addiction that I have. So I haven't been to a restaurant, I don't think, since December 26th. Dang sure haven't been to no buffets. My wife holds me accountable. She watches what we buy and comes into our house, and now she's got me doing this meal prep thing where it's whatever's in the box is all I can eat. It is. And I have eaten more broccoli and chicken and hamburger meat than I would like to say, but I'm going to tell you what, it has helped me steer away from this spot in my life that was causing mass pain in a lot of areas. See, I had to set up guardrails, and I had to set up guidelines in order for me to walk through this because the enemy was attacking me. Oh, your friends are coming over. You need that. Oh, your wife loves you just the way she is. She does, but she sure would like a healthy husband. All of these lies that were partial truths that the enemy was trying to use against me, I had to set up guardrails in order to be victorious. And I'll have to set up guardrails tomorrow. I'll have to wake up in the morning, open my refrigerator, and dig out some broccoli that my wife has put in a plastic container for me. Okay? And then when I sit down at lunch tomorrow, I get to say, yum. But I can tell you, it feels good to know that God has changed my mindset in this, and this is what this is talking about. The enemy used that against me, and I never, it took me 38 years to realize that. All right, that is the only section of this teaching that we're going to glorify the enemy anymore. We ain't going to focus on him no more. Because we're going to be aware and not be ignorant to his schemes. And his schemes, like 1 Peter says in 5 and 8, it says, he says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. All right, we all know that. Now let's look at this game plan that God has laid out for us. And this game plan puts us in the end zone. And man, I love this right here. Number one, read and speak forth the word of God. That's obedience. Read the word of God. And speak forth the word. How can you speak forth something that you don't read and know and study? Read and speak forth the word of God. Christians, if you're getting annihilated and you can't gain no ground and you can't get your air and it feels like you're drowning in this thing, the answers you're looking for are in the word of God. And if you're not studying it, and if you're not finding time in your life to put the Word of God as a center point in what you do on a daily basis, I encourage you to. Because that's truly a sword to slay the enemy with. And Jesus did this in amazing fashion in Luke 4. I want y'all to look at this. I'm not going to read the whole entire text, but I want to show y'all a couple things. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. I know that sounds crazy. Jesus was hungry. If I was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, if I made it, I'd be hungry too. I truly believe and know the reason why that's in there is because that humanizes Jesus. See, he understands the struggles we're going through. He understands our battle. He understands my battle with obesity. He understood the fear and the doubt that I was going through the past week because he said, son, I've been there. He said, for 40 days and 40 nights, he said, I didn't know what was going on completely. He said, I was asking God, hey, where are you at? Where's my strength come from? Why am I hungry? Why can't I eat? Why this? Why? It humanizes him, but in the very next thing, it makes him all God. But at the same time it makes him all God, it shows us exactly what we can and have the power to do. It says, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written. You cannot answer, it is written, unless you know it is written. It's in the Word of God. He goes on to say, he says, it is written. He says it again, it is written. Jesus answered, it says, and he's talking about the it. It is the Bible. And at the end it says, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Christians, I just come out of one heck of a battle. And I know the enemy's coming back. Because he said, I'm leaving for an opportune time, but Jesus, I'm coming back. He said, I'm going to try to find that blind spot in you. He thought it was a cross. Justin, you're victorious in this. I'm coming back. And guess what? He's going to. And I'd love to be able to sit here and say, you know what? I'm going to be ready. We're going to slay. I can't say that. And the reason why I can't say that is because I don't have the ability to do that. But I do have a Father that does. And so does everybody in this room tonight. We all have the ability to say, it is written. It is written. Number three, fasting and prayer. That's obedience, guys. Matthew 6 says, when you fast and when you pray. It does not say if you fast. It says when you fast and when you pray. That's obedience. In Matthew 17, 14, and 21, I'll give you an overview of this scripture. And what's happening here is this man has brought his epileptic son to the disciples. He brings it to the disciples to get healed, and they can't heal him. Then he takes him to Jesus. Ain't it funny? This is a whole other sermon. Isn't it funny how we take our problems to the wrong people sometimes? But then he takes his son to Jesus, and the disciples, and he heals him. The disciples says, "What? Why couldn't I do that?" And he goes on to say, he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, that is your lack of firmly relying trust. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by praying and fasting. Listen, believers, write this down, tattoo it on your body somewhere, put it on your car radio, wherever, on your bathroom window, on the refrigerator, wherever you're going to see it. There are things in your life that you're going to deal with as a believer that's going to require prayer and fasting. It is. The Word of God says so. It is going to require prayer and fasting. And the reason why is because prayer connects us to God. Fasting disconnects us from the world. And when we get disconnected, so hey, if you're in that peanut butter and you're fighting like crazy tonight and you can't come up for air, consider praying and fasting. It puts us in an express lane. It's like driving through McDonald's. And it gives us this overwhelming power and this overwhelming peace to when we do it right, we are separating ourselves from this chaotic world and we're attaching ourselves to God through prayer. He tells his disciples, he says, something like this, prayer's not enough. Your faith's not enough. If you're dealing with an addiction and you're so deep-rooted in that addiction and someone says, hey, son, have faith and just stop. They can say that all day long, but it does not always work. Some of these things take praying and fasting in order to have things break loose. Number four, this is my favorite one, praise and worship. This is obedience too, guys. We were created for praise and worship, and our praise and worship was designed for God alone. In 2 Chronicles, the story of King Jehoshaphat uses pretty much a praise and worship band to go before them, and they begin to sing praise and worship to the Father, and he annihilates the army that's in front of them. He destroys the enemy that's before them. The same God that did that for Jehoshaphat is the same God that's in here tonight, and he's the same God that resides in our heart. And it's the same God that wants to go before you and has gone before you and has already eliminated the enemy. Praise and worship ignites the heavens. It opens up the heavens. It pleases God. It pleases. The angels begin to sing. When we begin to do praise and worship in the middle of this peanut butter, that's when my victory began to break loose as I begin to praise and worship. And I told God, I said, I don't care what happens. I'm going to trust and love you with what's in my hand right here. I'm going to be faithful with it, Father, and I'm going to walk in obedience, and I'm going to give you praise. And I begin to praise and worship him when I didn't understand what was going on in my life. And things began to break free. And this don't just work for me. I've seen it work for my wife. I've seen it work for Courtney. I've seen it work for Bubba. I promise you, it works for everybody that is willing to apply this in their life. Number five, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Revelations 12 and 11 says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Everybody in here tonight has a testimony. My testimony is my greatest platform. My testimony of doing it the wrong way and fighting in the flesh versus doing it the right way and fighting in the spirit, and the results of fighting in the spirit and the victories and then the miserable defeats that I face fighting in the flesh, that's my testimony. Everybody in here has a testimony. We all have a testimony and the powerful blood of Jesus. And don't get me started on the powerful blood of Jesus, because this is what it does for us, guys. The blood of Jesus was not just for salvation. The blood of Jesus is an overcoming, powerful weapon that split the veil so that we can come in the innermost quarters of our Father. It's the blood that stained the cross so that we can have victory and we can have authority. And that we can have a testimony, not a testimony of death, but a testimony of life. My testimony is a testimony of life. He's restored my family. He's restored my heart. He has restored my life. He has restored my vision and the way I perceive things and the way I walk and talk and the way I view things, because my eyes are focused on Him. And they weren't for 35 years. That's my testimony. I can sit here all night and tell you how God has done this and done this and done this, and so could every one of you. But God has called us to use that testimony, just like I did today to a couple of my best friends, to overcome this attack. Y'all are called to use your testimonies. There's some of y'all in here tonight that I've heard your testimonies that's changed my life. Our testimonies are powerful. And Jesus understood that, because I think he got a pretty good testimony. He'd been through a lot, but he's on the other side of it. And that awaits us. And then the number six, I got to get going. Use the authority you have in Jesus' name. Now I'm fixing to show y'all something. I'm fixing to show you something that God revealed to me, and this is not in your notes, and I'm sorry, but this, I know that you need to hear this, because we can say all day, well, speak in authority. How? What authority? How do I have authority? How does little old me have authority in Jesus? How do I have the same authority as Jesus? I'm going to show you. Might open this up. I'm going to jump through this real quick. It won't take me just a second. In Ephesians 2 and 6, it says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ. God raised us, the believers, from the dead out of sin through salvation with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. All right, guys, that right there shows that because as believers, God has raised us from the dead life we live, and we are seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty because we are seated with Jesus. Now, I'm going to show you the authority we have. If you was to go back to Ephesians 1 and 19, if y'all don't hear nothing tonight, hear this. He says, I pray that you will, this is Paul talking to the church of Ephesus. He says, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. Everybody in here believers tonight? All right. So we have great power from God. We all agree with that. It says, this is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. All right. That proves that Jesus, if the Bible's real, it proves that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, correct? We just read that we're raised up and seated with Him. It says, now He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made Him head over all things for the benefit of the church. We are the church. We are seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and we have authority through the powerful name of Jesus and through His blood. The Word says so. We have to quit fighting from a position where we're asking and we're hoping for victory and begin to fight from a position and standing and claiming victory because God is victorious. Jesus already defeated the grave. There's nothing else that can hold him. He's done put his foot on the enemy's neck, took back the keys of death, the only thing that the enemy thought he had. We're victorious. Revelation says so. The Bible says so all throughout that Jesus Christ is victorious. If Jesus Christ is victorious, so are we. So use the authority that God has given you. He has blessed you with, he has empowered you with, he has trusted you with to slay this enemy that roars like a lion, like a lion. We're getting slayed and annihilated, and we're giving this enemy so much credit for all the tough things in our life, and God's saying, I've done defeated this for you. When Jesus' blood stained the cross and the veil was torn and we could come up in the innermost holiest of holies and be in the presence of God, that was not just for that instance. That was for eternity. I can go and sit at the foot of my Father, at the foot of Jesus 24 hours a day and 7 days a week, and his power does not change. It's all powerful. It's all victorious. We are conquerors by his blood. Don't y'all get that? Does that not excite anybody in here tonight that you have the victory through the blood of Jesus? I don't think y'all are hearing me. Hey, you're sitting here tonight. The one that created it all says you have the same authority in my name, through my name, if you'll access it. That means we win. That means we're in the end zone right now. Number 7, put on the armor of God daily. Another obedience. It's daily. Ephesians 6 and 10 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of the evil comes, that means it's going to come. It's going to show up. It's not when it comes. It doesn't say if it comes. It says when it comes. You may be able to stand your ground. Nothing in there tells you to attack him. You want to know why? You don't have to attack an enemy that's already whooped. God says, stand your ground. I've already won this thing. If we were playing a football game and we knew the final score was 55-0, all we had to do was stand against the opposing team for 4 quarters, make that game a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? Well, you're in that game right now, guys. We're victorious already. We're in the end zone. We know the outcome of this thing, and it says to stand firm. It says, and after you have done everything to stand firm, then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests. God saying, here, in this perfect game plan, I got the perfect armor. All you got to do is put it on and wear it and apply it. Just like if you go back to Corinthians and it's talking about captivating those thoughts and run them through the obedience of Christ, guess what? Run that thought through the belt of truth. That's what I had to do. What does God say about this situation? Enemy? What'd you say a while ago, Miss Sarah? That the old enemy keeps trying to tell you this and tell you that, huh? He keeps trying to tell you you're not doing enough. He's a liar, that's right. The father of lies. Then we have the breastplate of righteousness. This righteousness blocks the temptations. And when we seek righteousness, we seek righteousness in Christ, and we begin to live righteous in all the areas of our life. It protects our heart. See, for a second, for some reason, I took my breastplate of righteousness off, and I didn't know it, and the enemy began to try to attack my heart. All I had to do was pick it up and put it back on and begin to live with a righteous mind and righteous acts. And he says, well, I can't attack him there. He's got his helmet of salvation on. I'm trying to get into his mind. I'm trying to penetrate his mind, because if I can get him to believe that he's not an overcomer, if I can get him to believe that he's defeated, if I can get him to believe that there's not a way, if I can get him to believe that Jesus is not enough, I'll have him on the hook. But God says, no, I got a helmet for that, and it's called salvation. Because when you're mine, you're mine. And I can do something with you when you're mine. So I have to wear the helmet of salvation. And then I had to reach down and strap up and shod the gospel of peace around my feet. Because if I can't get up and walk daily in this peace that God has given me access to, I will walk in chaos. So even though I was walking through peanut butter, even though I was struggling, even though I didn't understand what this over here was happening or why this was happening, I could stand firmly. I didn't have to attack. And I said, all right, God, in the middle of this, I pray for peace. And I did. And I'd pray for peace. And I'd pray for peace. And I'd pray for peace. And I'd have to do it over and over. And guess what? Every time I went to God for peace, he reminded me of who he was and whose I was. And I received peace, and I was able to walk in peace in the middle, in the midst of this chaos that was in my life that I couldn't understand. And then I got to pick up my shield of faith. And as the enemy thought he had a blind spot and thought he had a way in, and he began to throw more arrows and more darts, and I began to hold my shield of faith up and say, God, hang on a second. You open and close doors for me, nobody else. You redeem me, nobody else. You save me, nobody else. You have a plan to prosper me and not harm me, nobody else. And as I begin to understand and relive and re-speak the truths that God has spoke over my life, and I begin to hold the shield of faith up, the enemy said, I can't get him there. He says, what am I going to do? And then I picked up this right here. The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And listen, guys, you can't pick it up and throw it at your opponent. It won't work. But you pick this thing up and live it. You breathe it. You eat it. You study it. You sleep with it. You live with this thing nonstop in your life, and you can speak forth the Word of God. It says it cuts between joint and bone marrow. Because when we speak this, we speak the sword of the Spirit, and the sword of the Spirit belongs to who? Jesus, the Spirit, slaying our enemy, and we ain't got to do nothing but be obedient and seek God in all we do. Matthew 6 and 33, I'll say it 1,000 more times in my lifetime. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of the things will be added. Seek God first in your daily battles with this. Go to this instruction manual when you're struggling, when the peanut butter's getting so thick you can't breathe. Go to this. And it slays the enemy. Number 8. All of that. And it comes down to number 8, guys. Submit to God. Resist the devil and just stand. Have faith in whose ability? God's ability. To fight for who? And do what? God says, submit to me. Do things my way. Stand against the enemy. Have faith in my ability, this divine power, this divine weapon that destroys and demolishes strongholds, and I'll fight for you and win, because I've already won. Ephesians 6 and 13 says, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Exodus 15 and 3 says, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. It also calls him Jehovah Tsaba, means God warrior. God's a warrior too. He's been in this fight from day one. He understands. John 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Awareness plus obedience equals victory. God has given us a game plan that is indestructible. He has given us a way not just to make it. He has given us a plan to be completely victorious through Him. He has given us the tools. This church has got wells set up at every corner. If it ain't grow one, there's encounter. There's groups. There's grow two. There's grow three. Don't stop here. There's wells set up that God has come and drink from this living water that you may never thirst again. We have a church that's brilliant about setting up these toolboxes that we may obtain these tools and learn what the Word of God says so that when the day of evil comes, we may stand firmly. So grow one, stand firmly. Resist the enemy and let God do what He's already done. And let the blood of Jesus pour out over your life, over your family, over your finances, over your marriage, over your children, over your job, over your perceptions, over your mentalities, over your ideas, and over your will. Because when we receive the will of Jesus and we know who we're called to be and we apply the will of God in our life and become who we're called to be, it destroys the enemy's plans. Thank you. Well, I'm going to pray and close this out, guys. Father, I just want to come and first of all, just thank you. Thank you, Father, that we can come into your house. God, we can open these manuals up. And God, as we begin to speak forth your word, it comes to life. God, you have laid out this perfect game plan for us for victory. God, you're a God of completion. You didn't do anything halfway. And God, our victory is not partial. Our victory is complete in you. God, the sacrifice that your Son made on the cross was complete. And I just want to thank you, God, that we have a complete plan in how to overcome the attacks of the enemy. And God, I'm so thankful that plan points directly at you, a divine power that destroys strongholds and demolishes the enemy's tactics. And God, I just pray your Spirit over this class. Father, I pray that as they go out this week, Father, that you watch over them. I pray blessings over their family. I pray blessings over their job. I pray blessings over their health, over their mind. And Father God, I pray that you convict the hearts that need to be convicted, Father, to deal with the areas that they need to deal with, Lord, that they may truly see the truth and become the overcomer, God, we've all called to be, and that we all have the capability of being. I just thank you for the night. I thank you for this amazing class, Father, and I thank you for their persistent dedication to show up every week, God, and to learn more about you, to serve you, and to see you more, God. And I just pray blessings upon the entirety of the class. Father, I love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.